Just a few weeks ago, thanks, Andrew, when I was away in Portugal with European Christian Mission, one of the disturbing things, there was lots of things disturbing in regards visiting the different missionaries and mission sites and what they are having to cope with as they seek to tell people about Jesus. But one of the scariest things was whenever you were having to go somewhere and the missionaries, say, in Porto, who knew the place very well, said to Charlie, who's the director of ECM Ireland, who was driving the hire car and driving with the steering wheel on the wrong side of the car and on the wrong side of the road and in a place where the driving is just chaotic. And James would say, just follow me. And you're tearing through the town. I sat in the back all the time at the left behind the driver so that I couldn't see. It was a bit terrifying. Follow me. For the boys and girls, I tried to show the idea of trying to follow somebody when there's lots of distractions, lots of things that creep into our lives that can cause distraction and upset and fuss and just cause us not to follow as we should. 20 times in the four Gospels, we read the words, follow me, where Jesus says to his disciples, follow me. So as we kind of wrap up those images of discipleship that we've thought about over the last 3 weeks, just want to think this morning about those two words, follow me. What do they mean for us as we seek to follow Jesus, or maybe are considering that Jesus owns our heart and so we should submit to him and give ourselves to him in faith. We suggestion, and maybe a bit of an ABC, following Jesus is an adventure. Maybe we don't think about it so much and sometimes like that, but in Luke chapter 5, in verse 11, we read of Peter, some of the other disciples, they pulled up their boats, they pulled their boats up on the shore, left everything, and followed him. Now, it's not just as simple as that. We don't have time to go into it, but they have known Jesus maybe for a few months. Andrew at one stage said to Peter, come and hear the man who just talks and just God seems to be in him and on him. And so there was a story, there's a backstory going on here. And did they leave everything completely behind or did they leave their boats with the hired men? There's a bigger story here, but this was the start of an adventure. They pulled up their boats on the shore, left everything and followed him. In the accounts in Mark and Matthew, just simply read the words, come, follow me. It was an invitation to adventure. An invitation to adventure. I want you to imagine yourself with a few friends, with Peter, sitting on a lobster pot or something, down at the beach at the Sea of Galilee. And Peter starts to reminisce about his time with the Lord. And it's the story that Emma's just read. Do you remember the amazing catch of fish? We had been out all night working, caught nothing. Jesus said, throw the net out. So many fish, we couldn't contain them. We couldn't cope. Goodness, amazing. I ended up saying, go away from me, Lord. I'm a sinful man. Do you remember it? You remember the day? I was terrified. The storm on the lake. This wasn't driving in Porto. This was the storm on the lake. And we thought we were going to die. And Jesus he was sleeping in the back of the boat. Peace, be still. And the waves stopped. The storm stopped. Goodness, do you remember? Do you remember the night in the storm? And Jesus wasn't with us. And we saw him. I saw him walking towards us, and I said, then let me come and meet you. And I walked in the water. I got distracted, and I took my eyes off him and began to sink, and he reached out his hand, and he lifted me. Do you remember that? Goodness. And you're sitting there with Jesus, or with Peter, sorry. And he says, do you remember the 12 lepers? And Jesus healed them all just by his words. You remember there was only one came back and said thank you, but the 12 were healed. That was, it's just amazing. Lazarus raised from the dead. Remember the day we were asked to go to Jairus' house? Little girl was ill, and on the way there was just this massive crowd, and in the middle of it Jesus stopped and said, who touched me? You're thinking, what? And there was this elderly lady who'd been bent double for years, and she reached out and touched Jesus, and she was healed. And then we went on. For 12 years she'd been sick, spent all her money, and then we ended up at Jairus' house and took, well, Peter, James and John, just the three of us, we went in with Jesus. And the wee girl was raised, was healed. The day the three of us as well, goodness, remember, up on the mountain, and Moses and Elijah were there, and Jesus was just transfigured into all his glory. It's been an adventure. Weird things. Do you remember the feeding the 5,000? And Jesus says to us, to the 12 disciples, says, you give them something to eat. He goes, what? You remember, Peter, just, was it the beach here that Jesus said, was talking about taxes, and he says, go down to the beach, go down to the sea, and the first two fish that you catch will have a coin in their mouths, and that'll be enough to pay your taxes. That was amazing. Following Jesus is an invitation to adventure. But in church, do we think of it like that? Do we live it like that? Mark's already commented in John 10, verse 10, and John chapter 10 this morning. Verse 10 says, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full, have it in abundance. Is our Christian life an adventure? If not, why not? Can I say also, it's not an invitation to a cushy number with all bells and whistles, froth and bubble. Sometimes it's really tough. And for Peter and for the other disciples, it was really tough. But it is an invitation to adventure. Revelation leads to transformation. Some of those stories there, just reflecting on Peter and his journey with Jesus, on quite a few occasions, who do people say that I am? You're the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus says, flesh and bone, flesh and blood have not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. Or in the storm, the disciples said, who is this man? And there was a revelation as to who Jesus was. A belief that then affected their behavior. Transformation. Do not be afraid. From now on, you will catch men, says Jesus. Come follow me. I will make you fishers of men. There is a transformation that happens. The task, you're no longer fishing for fish. You're fishing for people. Your purpose has changed. Your life has significantly changed. Here there's revelation. Go away from me, Lord, says Peter. I am a sinful man. When he meets Jesus in this adventure and he discovers who he is, his belief, you're the Christ, but it changes his behavior. Revelation causes transformation. Don't be afraid, from now on you will catch men. The third thing, it takes us to action. Max Lucado, in his little book, Just Like Jesus, writes this. God loves you just the way you are. But he refuses to leave you there. He wants you to have a heart like his. He wants you to be just like Jesus. See, in the revelation that Jesus or Peter has here, he says, "Go away from me, Lord." He discovers who Jesus is. In this revelation, he also discovers who he is. "Go away from me, Lord, because I am a sinful man." Jesus then invites him to this life of transformation. But get this, come follow me. Come follow me is not a passive thing. It's not just a tip your hat to God. It's an active thing. It involves action and activity. I'm just going to step back one. Man in the Mirror. Not Michael Jackson. But in James 1, verse 22, we read this. "Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does." Belief and behavior. Belief, truth that affects how we live. We don't come out of the house, go and look at the mirror and think, "Oh goodness, my hair's a mess," and then just leave. Well, maybe we do. You know, you just don't do that. You look in the mirror and you see what needs corrected and you work on it. Belief, what we see, truth, affects our behavior. Or does it? Because so often in our faith, we let it sit there. Here for Peter, there was revelation. "Go away from me, Lord, I am a sinful man." There was transformation. "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will catch men." There was action. "Come follow me." Last thing. There's a cost. There's a cost in this story. They pulled up their boats on the shore, left everything and followed him. Now, we're not sure if they just walked away from their business or they left their business with the hired men. But they no longer fished. There was a cost to their lifestyles and how they lived, what they did. The cost of following Jesus. Luke chapter 9, from verse 57. "As they were walking along the road, a man said to Jesus, 'I will follow you wherever you go.' Jesus replied, 'Foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head.' He said to another man, 'Follow me.' But the man replied, 'Lord, first let me go and bury my father.' Jesus said to him, 'Let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God.' Still another said, 'I will follow you, Lord, but first let me go back and say goodbye to my family.' Jesus replied, 'No one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God.'" Folks, there is a cost to following Jesus. Over the last few weeks, we've thought about the cross, taking up our cross and following. Living a crucified life as if we were dead to self. Thought about the toil, washing the disciples' feet, and Jesus says, "This is how we're to live as servants of him." There's a cost within this. Last week we thought about taking on the yoke and walking with Jesus, being in step with him. And there's a cost to that because you're tethered to Jesus. You can no longer go and do your own thing. You're connected, attached to him. Called to a life of adventure. A belief that affects our behavior and a cost that we are prepared to take up to follow him. I love the bookends here. I can't help myself, but bookends at the beach. Luke chapter 5, John chapter 21. And in John 21, we start by reading this. After Jesus appeared again, after Jesus' death and resurrection, he appeared to his disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, Galilee, Gennesaret. It happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas called Didymus, Nathanael from Canaan and Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples were together. I'm going out to fish, Simon Peter told them. And they said, we'll go with you. So they went out, got into the boat, but that night caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. He called out to them, friends, haven't you any fish? No, they answered. He said, throw your net out on the right side of the boat and you will find some. When they did, they were unable to haul in the net because of the large number of fish. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it is the Lord. Ding. We're back to Luke chapter 5, on the beach, the miraculous catch of fish. Lord, we've been fishing all night, but because you said it, we will do it. Amazing catch of fish. Jesus says, Peter, come follow me. And here, on the edge of the beach, same place again, years later, 3.5 years later, the disciples are confused. But they're being obedient because in Mark chapter 16, verse 7, we read, tell the disciples and Peter, he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Simon Peter and the disciples together say, I'm going out to fish. They're back in Galilee. They're doing what they know. Why are they there? They're confused. What's happening? The Lord has been crucified, but yes, we've seen him resurrected. He said, come and meet us here. We're here. But what's going on? Why am I here? What's happening? They're confronted once again. Throw your net on the right side of the boat, verse 6. And then Jesus cooks breakfast and tenderly treats these disciples that are confused. Then has a conversation with Peter where he is challenged, do you love me more than these? Then he's commissioned, Peter, do you love me? Feed my lambs. Peter, do you love me more than these? Feed my sheep. Take care of my sheep. Peter, do you love me? Peter's hurt the third time. Is this tying in with the three denials? We don't know. But the very last words in this conversation, then he said to him, follow me. Just as we close, this morning, is your Christian life, your following Jesus, my following Jesus, isn't it adventure? Or is it just mundane? Is it an adventure following Jesus? Are we giving ourselves to him and following him? Does this relationship with Jesus transform us to make us more like him? And maybe if not, we have to ask ourselves the question, are we prepared to pay the cost? Because it's not an easy thing. It's not commit your life to Jesus, find your ticket to heaven, and then just coast. It's about living for him day and daily. And there's cost involved. Are we prepared to live in that cost of the cross, the towel, and the yoke? Peter let the Lord down really badly. So did the other disciples, but Peter gets focused on. But Jesus cooks him breakfast on the beach, talks to him tenderly. And then he said to him, follow me. And can I simply ask this morning, is maybe that a reflection of your Christian experience at the moment, that you feel that you've let the Lord down? Well, in grace and mercy, he meets you and he says, please, please come follow me. An invitation to adventure. A belief that affects our behavior. Will we pay the cost? Let's pray together, please. Father, these are hard words to read, but we ask that you would help each of us to examine our hearts, to commit ourselves to you and to follow you. And we ask where these words are appropriate that you would apply them to our hearts, our minds, and our souls. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.